listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ. It is NFL Week 1 live, coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. And this starts, about 6 months to the Super Bowl. Football. And we got the right pros, the pros who know. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. He was on the Super Contest team last year. In the Gold Contest, we were tied for the lead 2 weeks to go. I don't blame him that we didn't win. But he, by the way, won twice himself, the only guy ever. So think about that. If you've heard Fez, we say it sometimes kind of fast, two-time Super Contest winner. Think about it. There's a contest which is NFL picking. It's all it is. By far the biggest one in the world, most important one in the world, and he won twice. Who else won twice? Nobody. Steve Fezzik. Also, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Brad, you were in a contest at the Golden Nugget. How many people were in it last year?
308.
And you got all this memorized. No problems with the numbers. Yeah. And how'd you do?
I took fourth place.
How much money did that win?
$21,000.
In cash, huh?
Yep.
Ah, nice.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
I mean, strong stuff here. I don't want Jonas to be intimidated, but he never seems to be. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, we mentioned Jonas. He is the resident voice of the fans. He's in L.A. And Jonas, I do this on our podcast. I don't do it here because it's a different kind of show, but I think we should start a new tradition once a season. The first show of the first week of NFL, we'll let Ric Flair get us started.
Showtime!
Woo! I mean, you kind of set me up to fail there. You're talking about all these contests that they've won and finished high in, and the only thing I've got to show for it is I won a family horseshoe tournament 1 year. I mean, and I cheated to do it. So
is that
Yeah, 100%.
I tell you, I am a natural horseshoe player. I mean, that's for another time.
So, RJ, we start here. It is week one in the NFL, and of course, we've got to start with a storyline that has been playing out in front of our very eyes and ears all throughout the past several weeks. The latest on Ezekiel Elliott. Reports say that they are very close to a brand new contract. Pro Football Talk reporting that Zeke and his agent were on a plane back to Dallas from Cabo earlier today, and the number being thrown out there, according to Pro Football Talk and others, say it's a 6-year deal in the $90 million range.
Okay, so as we often talk about, the guaranteed money is what matters. Any reporting on that?
There's no reporting on that. That's just a number that's being rumored.
Okay. I was watching, and I'm a fan of Nick Wright. He's on FS1. First Things First, I think it goes by. And I was watching on YouTube because I don't get up at 3 in the morning for First Things First. And he asked a question. I didn't like his answer, but I loved the question. And here's what it was. What is at stake in this conflict, in this disagreement, negotiation between the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and his son and Zeke? Meaning, what is the best scenario for Zeke? Let's say it's a jumbo contract, a little bit more, or maybe more than a little bit more than you might think makes sense. And then what's at stake for the Cowboys? You could say, well, in theory, they could get a contract which is less than you would think, by about the same amount. So maybe with guaranteed money, we're talking about a $15 million range. We're right in the middle. You go up, you know, there's a certain number. You go up $7 million. Oh, that'd be the best Zeke could do. You go down $7 million. We're talking guaranteed now. Does anyone disagree with that? That's
nope.
The range that we're fighting over.
Yeah.
Yep.
I disagree with it. I think the range is, Jerry Jones says, Zeke, we tried our best to show you your family. You rejected us. Now we're not. As Michael Corleone in Godfather 2 said to Connie, you've disappointed me. And now we're not going to negotiate anymore. Maybe next offseason, if you do everything right from here, we will. But oh, by the way, we're going to exercise your fifth-year option. And oh, by the way, we've already got the tag shined up and ready to go for year six. And then quite frankly, at that point, you're probably pretty much through. You've made some nice money. You know, that tag year is going to be what? 12, 14, 15 mil, maybe
yeah.
more? Okay. But then literally for whatever the fifth-year option is, which is not nothing, the tag year, and this year, you've got Zeke for three more years, quite frankly, the three you want him for. Now, you could say, well, what's the hazard of that? And I would say there's no hazard. If anything, it would be a positive for the Cowboys. If you're player-friendly generally, and the players don't appreciate it, and then you can turn, that's the best. Because if some, let's speak as a boss, right? I've got guys at pregame.com and gals I manage. They work for me effectively. My goal is to be as nice as possible. Now everyone's looking at me like, really? Yeah, that's my goal. Sometimes I get a little frustrated, but I think most people with open eyes see that genuinely I want good things for them and good things for the company. But if I feel like I'm wronged, I can get vindictive. I can't lie. And I really try to triple check that I'm right, that I was wronged. Boy, Jerry, no one's going to debate. Even if he did this to Zeke, what would the narrative be? The narrative would be, boy, Jerry's usually player friendly. And he sure tried to be player friendly, it seems, with Zeke.
Yep.
What happened? Zeke must have done something. Or at a certain point, Jerry, you can't push him back. Because let's be honest, if someone's weak, even if it seems nice, when the chips are really down, you think weak. You don't think nice. Now, if it's deciding who gets to decide where to go for the birthday dinner and you both have birthdays on the same day, oh, nice Uncle Ed, let's let him decide. But if you're fighting over inheritance and there's millions of dollars at stake, I think the poor nice uncle is going to be in trouble if he's going against Fezzik.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, isn't it good that Jerry, wouldn't the best brand Jerry could have be, I'm nice unless you force me not to be? And then you don't want to be, you don't want to see me when I'm angry. All right. So what, now you might say, well, Zeke might not play. He might only come into week 10. Fine. Because think about the Steelers. If you're Juju Smith-Schuster or whoever might be coming up, might want to hold out a year. Once you saw what happened with Le'Veon Bell, are you thinking, what I'm saying is the Steelers stood tough, a game of chicken. They did not blink. Did it work out for them perfectly? No. Did it work out for Le'Veon perfectly? No. Mutually assured destruction? Not quite, but both parties are going to suffer if you play me for the fool, is what Jerry's got. I think it helps the team. Because as much as Colin has been talking, and I agree with him on this, that the Joneses have been messaging very effectively. From what I hear of this contract, can anyone debate that Zeke would win?
Yep.
This standoff? I mean, this feels like it's above and beyond what if they would have just came to a deal and Jerry says, hey, we're going to pay him no matter what. I mean, 90 mil, what's the biggest contract otherwise?
It would
like
be 58, Todd,
right?
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley, and it would put him in that $15 million range that Gurley's at. That's why the key to this is when can Dallas get out of the contract? Because if they can get out after 3 years, then
well,
you
by
look
the way,
at it,
they can get out after 3 years without signing another contract.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. So it does. They are going down a treacherous road to where they're setting a precedence that you can behave this way and then get rewarded. I just wonder if this is, and everyone is tying Jerry to this. I think this is more about Stephen Jones's reputation because Jerry doesn't have that many years left as owner of the Cowboys.
Well, how do you know?
I mean, you know.
We have an actuary,
age.
Steve Fezzik, right here.
Yes, I mean, I'm just saying. But I think that they are running the risk of setting a precedence that you can behave this way and then you're going to get rewarded for it.
If anything, that was the rationale of why I think Jerry Jones was being so tough. We talked about it last week. I think he was standing up for the entire league saying this is not a precedent we want to set.
Yep. And he even, you know, said, I've earned the right to joke with Zeke. I've earned that right. He got a little testy with the...
Well, yeah. And if anything, the fact that Zeke's agent made an issue of that and got Jerry Jones to the degree that he was upset to the degree he was publicly testy, to me, it was a sign he was going to entrench himself. And if I would hear they're going to sign and Zeke's coming in, let's say smack in the middle of Le'Veon Bell and Gurley on guaranteed money, I would have said, okay, Jerry won that one. Makes sense. And I'll tell you right now, I don't understand this. In every way, it feels like Zeke was winning. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to reverse that. It felt like Jerry Jones was winning. He even said, you know, let's be honest. It's the playoffs that matters. The end of the season that matters. We've talked about this in the NBA. Sometimes you almost would wish a LeBron would show up January 1, start stretching, be ready to go by the All-Star break. Now, in the NFL, it's tougher to make the playoffs. So I get you'd rather have Zeke there from day one, but at what cost? And again, why not? Let's be honest, I'm a little Machiavellian, not quite like Fezzik, but I'd be thinking, wait a minute, if I'm Jerry Jones, I value being a player's coach. You know, I want to have fun with my players. To some degree, when you're a billionaire, and as Jonas says, you're near death, apparently, Jonas predicts. Talk about prediction.
Just saying, you know.
The fact of the matter is, you care about the softer things sometimes. It's like, oh, I want to be loved. When you're 28, 38, 48, you haven't made your fortune yet, you don't care about that stuff typically. If you're a go-getter, you want to get the goal. We can talk about Jerry Jones and Super Bowls. He's got three. Now, does he want another one? Yeah. But I think this is a sign he's gone soft. Jerry Jones has gone soft if he signs the contract that's being reported because it feels like they were winning. He has the ability. And here's the question. I was talking about me being Machiavellian. He could say, wait a minute. I've been player friendly in nearly every case. Zeke publicly has done some stuff that feels like I could make the case it was Zeke's fault. I mean, really, the first person ever to hold out with 2 years left, you know, the team's option being the second year. So it's like he's doing something unprecedented, Zeke. He's done it in a disagreeable way. He did it in Cabo. And I'll tell you this, Jonas, time for you to admit something. I told you at the time Cabo was a mistake. I said he should have went to Russia and trained where Rocky did in Rocky IV. Right. But anywhere but Cabo or a resort. When I heard Colin today, and again, you and he disagree on almost everything, but when I heard Colin today go, and Zeke's in Cabo, he said Cabo like three times.
Right.
You heard that, right?
Yeah, yes. I did.
Exactly. And then I heard in the news break, I don't know if our news guy's getting paid under the table. He goes, well, Zeke's coming back from Cabo where he was training. Who told him to say that? It felt like there was some kind of like a PR person over his shoulder saying, now remember, he's been training in Cabo. Not the beach, training. You know? So do we admit that Cabo was a mistake?
Oh, yeah. The name Cabo attached to it, you just think drinks, you think food, and
exactly.
You think women and partying. That's what you think of.
Exactly. So to me, as I wrap up this topic, Jerry could have played tough, negotiate tough, tell Zeke. Now, you keep stringing him along. You say, hey, you play really well this year. You're not any disruption. We'll negotiate in good faith. Next year comes, you send like the third team lawyers to negotiate, and it's like no chance of any deal happening. He says, oh, by the way, player option or team option. And then, but if you do really well this year and stay a team guy, maybe we won't franchise tag you. And then same negotiate. Oh, franchise tag. And then bye, Zeke. Here's a watch.
Jeez.
And really think about it. Would Jerry Jones's brand be hurt?
No.
It would be more that, you know something? He's an OG. No wonder he became a billionaire. He's always trying to be nice, but if someone pushes him, well.
That keeps one in the chamber in case you ponder it.
Anyone disagree?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Jerry Jones, that's for free. When we come back, oh man, we got so much NFL. What happens when a quarterback, doesn't play in the preseason? We've got the data. Also, the Houston Texans, Colin Cowherd's take today, crazy.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look at some major movement in the NFL over the past several days.
Thanks for joining us. Fox Sports Radio, 200 stations nationwide. Also, iHeartRadio app, foxsportsradio.com. You can get us on podcast. Just search RJ Bell. Also on Sirius, we try to bring you a little touch, a little fun of the Vegas each weekday. Right now on the Strip, 105 degrees. The neon is coursing.
So, RJ, there were a couple of major trades over the weekend in the NFL, both of which involved the Houston Texans. The big names involved, obviously, Jadeveon Clowney is out in a deal sent to the Seattle Seahawks, and Laremy Tunsil is in a deal with the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, so we started a segment a while back at Jonas's behest called Colin Cowherd is Crazy. See the alliteration? Okay, here's the thinking. There are no sacred cow herds. And if Colin's wrong, he better know it. We don't have the luxury here of hot takes. Because if we have hot takes, we lose money. Cold cash over hot takes. Now, about half our listeners, based on studies, don't even bet. You don't need to bet. We bet. And that means we're held accountable with our pockets, with our bankroll, when we're wrong. And when Colin's wrong, we want to point it out to you. And if he disagrees, well, we'll be doing a podcast this Friday. We can hash it out. I thought his take on this trade was one of his worst takes I've heard in a long time. I listen to Colin every day, not a day. If I miss a show, I'm listening to it, you know, over the weekend, even though it's 3 days old. I don't miss his best of podcast ever. Love him. He's been a personal friend. That said, crazy. Colin Cowherd, crazy. Now, this was his take. And Brad, you listen most every day. You can tell me it's a good recap. He said, I think all these nerds with all their calculations of what draft choices are worth, is Houston better today? And if so, F tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow. Now, it's interesting. There's a famous song from the 60s by Velvet Underground called Heroin, about heroin. And some of the lines in there, and they have another song about drugs called Waiting for the Man. This is all off their first album, the one with the banana on it. Some might be familiar. Called Waiting for the Man. He said, you know, he's shooting up after he scores, and he says, everything's okay till tomorrow, but that's just another time. Meaning, hey, I can take care of myself tomorrow too, just like I did today. I don't think the NFL is like that. Because once you give up a crazy amount of draft choices, when is the last time we've seen a team in any trade give up two number ones and a number two? Faz, you're shaking your head on the radio.
I'm just thinking about what the Lakers did, not in the NFL. Not never.
The Lakers. Okay. Yeah. But that's a different subject, right?
Yes.
Okay, so coming back to the NFL, when's the last time we've seen that?
That's always for a quarterback.
It's almost like Fezzik's like the grandfather that you don't know if you should sit at the main table at Thanksgiving. Like, what do the Lakers have to do with anything? Fez?
I can't think of an NFL president.
Yeah. I mean, let's think back to Jared Goff. So there, I don't remember, and Jonas might remember this trade. But when they went up to number two, I think it was, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah.
Was that the trade with the Browns? I'm thinking. I mean, there was a couple of trades that, where people went up from like, teams went up from like 10 to 2, 10 to 1. And it was usually like two number ones.
Yeah, Goff and RG3.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were Brad, look up the haul there. I'm thinking it was similar. I'm almost certain it wasn't three number ones, right?
Yeah, the Rams traded up with the Browns, if I'm not mistaken, and it was the Eagles who traded with the Titans to move up to two.
Yeah, but the haul ultimately that the team receiving the picks got was comparable, and we'll get the exact info. You got
Yeah, so the Rams traded with the Titans. Two first rounders, two second rounders, two third rounders.
Okay, so an extra second and two thirds. And you're getting Larry Tunzel at the end of his rookie deal. Who knows where he's going to be in a year or two? It's like the Aerosmith song, "Baby, I don't know where I'll be in a year." Well, we don't know where Larry Tunzel is going to be in a year, but you're giving up about the same amount to get a potential franchise quarterback on the beginning of his rookie deal with 5 years of contractual control.
The Khalil Mack trade is a similar trade. In that trade, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and then a sixth-round pick.
Okay, but if I remember, the Raiders got a decent amount back.
Yeah, that's what the Raiders got back for Mack.
Oh, true. But then I think the Raiders actually sent some number, like a number two that didn't get reported till later?
Yeah, they got a 2020 second round pick in 2020 and then a conditional fifth round pick in 2020 as well.
So what we could say is it feels like objectively that Miami got more for Tunzel by a smidge than Raiders got for Mack.
Yes.
Now, Mack is a generational talent, right? One of the top three or four defensive players in the league. It's not even a debate.
Yep, right.
Right?
He and Donald.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Fezzik there. Those two, best two defensive players. Now, the question is, where's Larry Tunzel rank? So, Fez, you in your notes said, hey, this guy, you know, a lot of people like him. Now, where's that coming from? And then what is Pro Football Focus, who does a great job of grading players, what do they say?
Pro Football Focus says out of 160 starting linemen, he is number 38.
38. Okay. All right. 160. So that's not good. Oh, it's good.
It's good. It's like not almost the best player lineman on an average team. Almost. Not quite.
Okay. Well, no, not an average team, because that would be the 15th best lineman.
Yes.
So it's that plus another 15 plus another 8 is what he is.
Yes.
An average best lineman. But somehow I've heard people say, calling again today, he's maybe not top five, but top 10, but he's surging. It's like, okay, maybe. Or maybe last year was a fluke, right? Maybe the weed. And again, I don't know how much weed he's smoking today. I do know this. When you see someone in a gas mask smoking it, you think, you know, he takes it kind of seriously. Yeah. I have no idea if that was the last time he ever toked, as the kids say, or at least the kids in the 60s. I don't know. But boy, I'm not particularly anxious to think this guy's going to keep surging. But then look at his contract situation. He probably is going to want to be paid as a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
You can get that. Paying guys without a hometown discount who's not quarterbacks is what the Steelers and the Patriots don't do. Think about it. In all these Belichickian years for the Pats, how many times with a non-quarterback did they sign any player to a top 10 contract at his position?
Gilmore at corner is the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah. And I'm not saying there wasn't a couple more, but we're talking about a couple times in 20 years. And Miami's trading away their future, or check that, Miami's receiving Houston's future, all for what? To sign this guy to a exorbitant contract, which inevitably he'll want? What's he going to give? The hometown discount to a place he's been to three times? I mean, I'm guessing. Explain this to me. How does this make any sense? Now they give up Clowney. Now, Fez, if I would have asked you a week ago, Clowney or Tunzel, who would you rather have on your team?
Clowney.
Okay. And what they got back, how many number ones? None.
Third
how many number twos? None. So wait a minute. You literally gave up the player most people in Jones. Would you agree? You'd rather have Clowney?
I'd rather have Tunsil.
All right. But it's a close call.
Yeah, it's close. Very close.
All right. So let's call me even. I mean, we got the two-time Super Contest champion, Fezzik, and we have Jones. We'll call it even. Because it's not betting. Actually, to be all candid, if it comes to how good a player is, I put Jonas right in the conversation. I think Jonas really knows sports. He's self-deprecating. I know he knows sports. He's self-deprecating amongst us, and that's smart. But otherwise, he knows as much sports as any talk radio guy I know. So I love his opinion. Let's call it even. All right? So, all right, we're going to trade two pieces even. Now, in addition, we're going to give up two number ones and a number two and get back a number three. How are you better? At best, you're even now. Now, if you're on the other side of this argument, I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. You can say, but what did they need? What is the impact of a left tackle for a really bad offensive line? And I think it's fair.
Yep.
So give them a little extra. You know, give a little extra.
For need.
But if you add, you know, and the contract situation for Clowney is, you know, about the same, meaning at the end of the deal, I guess they could have franchised him this year. So let's say Clowney's contract's a little more precarious because he's further along in it. Okay. These are all little decimal point moves. The big story here is you lost one player that's about as good as the player you got, and you literally mortgaged your future. You can do that for a Mac who the defense has to, the defense is built around. And you're game planning against Mac. You're not game planning against Tunsil, who is the third. You know, Pro Football Focus isn't perfect, but what's better? Give me an assessment that's better.
There isn't one.
Now, you might get a scout that says, oh, I think he's number 10. You're going to get another scout saying he thinks he's number 40. So, I mean, Pro Football Focus is using numbers. Scouts are using what they use. I think this narrative, it just goes to show you how if it's written in the first couple of stories, people repeat it. But top 10 surging, that's been, I don't understand where that's coming from. Because I'm not able to grade left tackles. Here's something else, finally, I disagreed with Colin about. He said that Houston's going for it now. They've got their quarterback, Watson, for what, a couple more years cheap, fifth-year option, not as cheap, but still, let's get it now. Almost like the Saints with Breeze, right? Remember, last draft, not the most recent, last draft, Saints traded up from like 30, 29 to like 14 or 15 to get a rush end. They thought, yep, they needed a rush end. I don't think he had a very good year, now that I remember. But they were saying, any rookie that next year, which would have been this draft, probably isn't going to contribute all that much this year in that first year for him, which would be the 2019 upcoming season. Thus, we'll get a good guy now, have him for 2 years. We think he can contribute now because Breeze is pretty much done after 19. Now, is he or isn't he? We'll see. But I think it's hard to imagine there's not a drop-off by the end of next year for Breeze. I get it. You're saying, we're not going to be very good without Breeze anyway. Let's go all in now, win a Super Bowl, max our chance to win it. And if we don't, well, we tried. We'll be bad for a couple years, get some draft choices, and start the process again. That's the cycle of life. But Houston needs their draft choices the most once they have to sign Watson to a big contract. Why? Because that's when you need cheap, elite talent.
Yes.
The number one pick every year is so precious because you're getting potentially, and Colin said 30% miss. Okay, fine. 70% of the time you're getting a good player at minimum on a cheap contract for 5 years potentially. So they gave up 10 years of cheap first round talent for 1 year, Houston did, of Tunsil or two. I think it's one or two under contract. I guess they have the option year two. How is that a good deal for now? You can debate it with Clowney going out, but I think they're neutral now, maybe a smidge better, and they're screwed when they need, because if they don't have cheap talent once they sign Watson, how do you compete? Because you're not going to be able to buy other free agents.
Nope.
Like, Seattle let go of a lot of people, but that's what happens. You need draft choices then. And the real damaging part, finally, would be what happens if Watson doesn't sign because you don't have those draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because explain to me how that team is competitive, even with Watson, in 2-3 years from now. Fez?
Doesn't seem feasible. And RJ, Vegas agrees with your take big time. Look at the season win number on Houston. Last week, it was 8.5 after Luck retired. What is it today? 8.5 has not moved.
That's great. And the reason Luck retiring is important, it was easier to win the division. So there was an adjustment, as I said, on Twitter in real time. You can thank me later. At RJ in Vegas, in just 1 minute, college football, I think one of the most amazing covers I've ever seen.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We will continue to take a look ahead at the season coming up in the NFL. Kickoff Thursday night between the Bears and the Packers. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, that Bears line favored by 3, little extra juice, which means the market by a smidge is saying the Bears are the better team over the Packers. Bears is one of those teams that did not play their quarterback in the preseason. We'll talk about that in a few also. Brad, I got to tell you, college knowledge, I don't think I've ever quite seen. Well, there's some crazy covers. This is right up there, wouldn't you say? Oregon-Auburn. So let me lay this story out because I actually did it. And we'll be talking about this throughout the football season. We're doing a new thing called the Straight Outta Vegas Minute. It's being distributed to all the iHeart stations to use if they want. Response has been outstanding. Did the first one last night. And we'll be sending that out on Twitter and stuff when we're able. So I did this for that. So I got it all lined up. This is pretty amazing. So Oregon led and dominated the game. So they were up 15 in the second half.
Yep, 21-6.
How much did the scoreboard represent the truth in that case?
At that point in the game, it pretty much represented the truth.
All right, so Auburn comes surging back. I've been practicing that. Yeah. No, not really. Late in the game, though, literally less than 30 seconds, they're in makeable field goal range. So it's Oregon leading, Auburn makeable field goal for the win, not the tie, for the win. Now, at this point, freshman quarterback, yep. No timeouts.
Yep.
About a 43-yard kick?
Yeah, right around there. Yep.
Okay. Now, they kick it. You know, they could kneel. However they would have done it, they could have made that the last play of the game. They drop back to pass. Now, the line on this game was Auburn favored by
3.5, 4 points.
And if they kick the field goal, they win by 2.
Yep.
So, imagine if you bet Oregon +4, you're thinking, kick the field goal, yep. Kick the field goal.
Doesn't matter, make it or miss.
Doesn't matter, win. Baby. All right. And literally, when they draw back, you're thinking, oh no, oh no. And you're thinking, still, this is, 19 yards. So, I mean, this is to throw into the end zone late in the game is not easy. Because right? You only got to defend 20 yards behind.
Yes.
You know, you only got to defend that yardage in the 10 yards of the end zone. Freshman quarterback, no timeouts. Now, why no timeouts matters? If they would have got sacked,
yep.
Freshman quarterback.
Game over.
If they would have thrown in the middle of the field and got tackled.
Yeah, don't get a first down, game over.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. They get a first, maybe they go spike it.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's questionable, yep.
I think if it's a first, they're favored to spike it.
Yep.
But far less than 80%. I mean, it's not 100. It's not 90. All right. So all these risks to avoid a 43-yard field goal. Now, I get it. I hate coaches that start kneeling on the ball with a minute 30, trying to run clock. Go score, or at least make it a chip shot.
Yep.
And we've seen in the NFL, they miss these all the time. I mean, statistically, they're highly likely, but pressure is pressure, right? So I kind of get it, but I don't because of the no timeouts. Well, I think it's fair to say the pass was up for grabs.
Yes.
The coach called it a 50-50 ball. Now, you could make the case it was a bad throw, right?
Yeah, it was underthrown.
Underthrown. Now, maybe the freshman, Aaron Rodgers style, purposely underthrew it to the middle of the field? I don't think so. Touchdown.
Yep.
And literally, if you had Oregon +4, who had not trailed at any point during the game, you lose. Ouch.
cell phone into the wall, Alex.
Last thing. This Malzahn. Is that how you say his name?
Yes. Yes,
if that is his name.
Yeah.
15-yard celebration penalty after the TD. So now the kickoff is affected. And when they scored that touchdown, they were up by 5.
Yes.
Let me think. Kick the extra point is 6. Other teams got to score or go for 2, make it 7. 5 or 6 doesn't really matter. He doesn't go for 2.
He did it twice, RJ.
In the same game, you mean?
In the same game.
Yeah, but there's all kind of ways to debate earlier that 2 field goals
and all
that.
8 minutes left in the game. They score a touchdown. They get a false start penalty, and then he decides, I'm not going to go for 2. I'll make it 21-20.
Oh.
He makes a mistake, and then he makes a huge mistake.
You're saying it was a choice of being up by 2 or 3.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
A chance of possibly tying the game with 8 minutes left or being down, 1-2.
Oh,
so to get to 21-20, they score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So it's 21-19, 8 minutes left in the game. There's a false start penalty.
I understand. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because of the false start penalty, he's like, I'll kick the extra point.
Oh, wow. Because the theory is there's no real scenario that being up by 1 or 2 matters. I think sometimes going for 1 to make it 6 with like 9 minutes left isn't stupid.
I agree, because field goal locks up the game.
That is a great point, but also 2 field goals beat you. There's all kind of I mean, listen, some of this is gray and people on Twitter are gonna like yell about it, but this feels very objective when there's seconds left in the game and you can be up by almost a guaranteed 6 or up by potentially 7 50% of the time. You go up by 7.
Yes.
So like 3 bad decisions in a row, you could make the case, because I think that's a bad decision to pass it, and literally he's carried off the field.
Yep.
Trust the process, guys. Remember, it's not all about results. If we teach you anything, it's about doing the right thing. And a little catchphrase I came up with to end this, for every miracle win, it's a bad, bad, bad beat for somebody. Think about it, guys. You can't have a bad beat without having a miracle win, or vice versa. Maybe that's what we should do in these miracle covers, is do we relate more to the cover or do we relate to the Oregon? Fez, I'm betting you relate to the team that's been in the lead the whole game, getting points, but somehow poor Fezzy Wezzy doesn't cash.
I certainly talk about those a whole lot more.
Now that's some truth, if you ever wondered. When we come back, we got picks. We also got Jared Goff is one of them. Trubisky's another. What happens to quarterbacks that don't play in the preseason?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So last year in the NFL, we did something. It was a Tuesday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas, in which Steve Fezzik was on fire throughout the course of the season with his early line move predictions in the NFL.
He was winning those games, and he was winning the line moves, which is very important. Fez, this is a game we're looking for the weekend, in which you're saying, I think it's the right side in the NFL, but I also think bet it now because the line's going to get worse for your side.
Exactly right. And RJ, we are on Baltimore -7 at Miami. Now, we spoke about Tunsil being gone for Miami. Hey, he's only worth like half a point. So why do we...
Well, first off, the 38th best lineman's worth half a point?
Yes.
Hmm.
Maybe even that's a stretch. But where Tunsil is critical to Miami is the locker room. Miami sending a clear picture to all their players. Hey, we are in full-blown rebuild mode. And because of that...
So everything else prior didn't indicate that.
Well, they were already forecast to be the worst team in the NFL.
Well, what I'm saying is their decision-making the whole offseason seemed like it was like, we're not playing for this year.
Yeah, and there were guys in Miami that were saying, you know what? There's rumors that we're going to trade Tunsil. If they trade him, there's going to be a riot in the locker room.
So where's the riot?
Well, the riot is going to go on in terms of, I believe...
Oh, so this is a metaphorical riot.
I believe it's going to compromise the effort for Miami, and because of that, I bet Baltimore, and I think that Baltimore, if you like Baltimore, bet -7 now, I think the line goes higher.
I agree with you. I think, first of all, I'm almost certain the line goes higher. I like this pick for another reason. In fact, this is probably one of my favorite picks. I believe that Harbaugh, as much as I don't like him as a Steeler fan, as much as I don't like his brother,
he smells
at Michigan. The fact that as an Ohio State grad, they're both pretty good coaches. I think John's much better.
Agreed.
He's had the whole offseason to come up with little quirks for this running game that no team has ever seen in 30 plus years, 50 years. I think the first five, three, four, five, six, eight games even, Baltimore's going to have something to spring on each of these teams. That's a big advantage, I think, for Baltimore. I agree with Fezzik's pick, Baltimore, but I think it's the wrong reason. I think these are professionals in Miami. They might be a little disgruntled. Come game day, they're going to play football.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!